From Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop.
Calling back. Hello. Calling back. Hello.
Calling go, Mark. Back. Hello. Go, Mark. Go, Mark.
Calling back. Hello.
Calling go, Mark. Go, Mark. Go, Mark. Go.
welcome to the Inside Scoop, everyone. I'm sorry we had a bit of a computer malfunction there, but all is good, and I got a lot to talk about. First thing I want to discuss is what the heck is going on in perhaps I should say what the bleep is going on in Chicago. That seems to be the word of choice. That's the one used by Governor Blagojevich. And, of course, quoted by U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald. What is going on in Chicago? Well, Chicago has an incident. Actually, I probably should broaden that to Illinois. The last eight governors of Illinois, four have... That's pretty good, right? That's 50% prison, including the guy just before Governor Blagojevich governed up with this state. Well, it seems... Including the guy just before Governor Blagojevich governed up with this state. Well, it seems to be that pay, as they call it, bribery would be another name for it, issue in Chicago. And it's not just a question of what governor's office. We also have Sam Zell, the fire all his employees, actually doing it in order to steal from them all their value, all their pensions. And then you've got... you have union troubles, of course, specifically their employer troubles, that Republic Windows and Doors also trying to lock out their workers. So there's a lot going on in the corrupt state of Illinois, and maybe some can help me out with trying to understand what's really going on here. I want to report on that. I also want to report something that Bob Kincaid told me about that's on my website, and that is the wonderful statement of Pat Boone. Now, I fully admit that... I don't know that I've ever heard a Pat Boone song. I'm very proud of that. I don't think he has much talent. But I did not know that he was running for Grand Wizard of the KKK. Apparently he is. Apparently Pat Boone had decided that to go down as a, you know, two-bit singer was not enough for him. He wanted to go down as a minister of hate. So Pat Boone, get this, compared the terrorist attacks in Mumbai, those vicious, horrific attacks, innocent people, dry eye, frankly, if you watch those, thinking about the innocent people running away for their lives. If you think where the Indian 0.001% Jewish, there's maybe 1,000 in a, what is that? That's 1 in 1,000,000, 0.000, and yet they sought to kill them.
Guy James Show is on in
life. Life, you hear me? Give my creation life.
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
You got them.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. At Guy James.
Well, 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 and welcome to the Guy James Show. Thank you for joining us here this afternoon. Coming to you live from the beautiful blue waters and sandy beaches of Southwest Florida. Florida, Naples, Fort Myers area. Ah, yes. Actually, Estero. How many of you up north have heard of Estero, Florida? It's actually in between Naples and Fort Myers, but it's not populated like Naples and Fort Myers. Actually, Naples and Fort Myers are both Estero from the studio, Fort Myers being a little bit closer. Our studio's in the Fort Myers, sunny seat. Anyway, why am I getting into the geography of the thing? It's another beautiful day here in Paradise. Air's dry. Beautiful day. Am I getting all this humming noise here? I'll put up with it. Anyway, today, for those of you who like to keep track of history and historical events, today is the 28th anniversary of the murder of John Lennon, one of my musicians of all time. I have often said that when they study music a couple of hundred years, Schoenberg University or one of the famous music universities, and they study music, that they will in fact be studying Bach, Brahms, Beethoven, Berlioz, some of those folks, and McCartney and Lennon. I do believe that. It's music that will last forever. It was good music. And it's interesting that people back in the day when the Beatles first came across the Atlantic, and my father in particular, I remember so well when they came on the Sullivan Show, my father, and oh my God, look at them. Look at that long hair on those guys. Ah, yes, we all heard that. And what a crazy it was when they came to the shores of the United States. I remember being in Cleveland, Ohio. I didn't go there to see them, but it so happened that they brought them to Hopkins Airport, and then they brought them through downtown in a parade. And it was the thing to do to throw jelly beans at the... You talk about raining jelly beans. It was an amazing thing to see. And I was just up in the front, pretty much in the front of where the motorcade was going by, and there was such a crush of humanity behind me, I was really afraid that I was going to get shoved into the ongoing path of, yes, of the cars that they were in. I don't remember what kind of cars they were in. But anyway, it was an interesting time, and I'm glad that I had the opportunity to see the Beatles. I never got to see them in concert, but I was a big fan. And oddly enough, so that you know where I'm coming from musically, I like many, many different kinds of music. I play music. I sing. I enjoy my music. It's one of the great things in life, music is. And I am not a big fan of the rock and roll Beatles. I am a fan of the ballads, and I think Yesterday and Imagine I picked out some Beatles music today, particularly John Lennon music, that I like. I'm not into the, and it was okay, the Yellow Submarine and all that sort of thing. That's fine. I listened to it. Remember when I started the university in the fall of 63, and me on the local top 40, all 10 of the top 10 songs were Beatles. All 10. That'll never happen again. But it was an interesting time, and then along came the rest of the English invasion, came over the Rolling Stones and all those folks. Interesting time for music, and I'm forever grateful that McCartney and Lennon in particular made their stamp upon the music world here in the United States. They made some wonderful, wonderful music that, as I've mentioned, I do believe will last forever and ever. So we'll do that from time to time today. We'll have a tune coming in. But 28 years ago today, John Lennon killed in the upper west side, right along Central Park, a place they call Strawberry Field now. He lived in a big apartment building. It's well known there, called the Dakota, a big black stone foreboding building. And John Lennon lived there. Trying to think of the guy's name. Mark Chapman. Mark Chapman was the name of the guy that killed him. Still don't know why, and will we ever know why? He is still in prison, I understand, and was denied parole. But a senseless murder of a great and wonderful talent. And I, for one, always miss him. He would have been 68 years old today. He would have been 68 years old right now if had he still been living. But happenstances that happened in history that we have no idea why he was killed. Really don't know. The guy was supposed to. Anyway, I want to go a little bit here, and I want to tell you that we're celebrating 6 years today. Actually, the anniversary was on the 7th of December. It was the 7th. We couldn't do it then. So we're doing it today, the 6th anniversary. And I really didn't do anything special for the 6-year anniversary, but I did want you to know that we've been slogging away now for 6 years. It was the 7th of December, 2002. I've got a nice little plaque here on the wall. And thank you from those of you who gave that to me. It's very, very nice. Very nice. And I appreciate it very much. We've had 6 years of reporting on the ineptitude of the Bush administration. That's why we got to doing the show in the first place. We've had 6 years of reporting on one horrendous crime after another by these people. 6 years of hoping and praying that we could somehow make a difference. Well, it's a fresh new administration taking over on the 20th of January. We have hope that he can turn things around. And we also know that things aren't going to turn around in a few days. And I hope we all realize that. It's going perhaps as much time to dig out of this mess as it did to dig us into this hole in the first place. I hope not that long, but it is entirely possible. And it's going to be difficult because we're hurting. Hurting. And hurting badly. Country's hurting in one way or another. And we recently found that, last 1,000 jobs were lost last month. Another 200,000 or so that hadn't been reported the month before. Can you visualize that? I don't know, for some crazy reason. I always visualize crowds in the size of the Ohio State football stadium, which is a bit over 100,000, around 105. Can you imagine 733,000 people standing in the streets without jobs? Can you imagine that? I mean, that number sounds big, but imagine that many people gathered in one place. You could fill the 7 largest football stadiums in the United States with that many people. 730,000. Just last month. And the month before. And you can fill the top dozen or so stadiums full of unemployed people just from the year, from this year alone. That's an amazing number. And I think it's something that passed the public by. I don't think when it was announced, what was it, a week ago today? I don't think the day it was announced that people could really appreciate that number for what it is. 533,000 last month and a couple of 100,000 from the month before that hadn't been declared. A number of people losing their job, losing their livelihood, and said, oh, well, I lost my job today. I'll go find another one. That isn't just a sign of 533,000 jobs lost. Get the report next month. That's a sign of economic collapse. It's a sign of our society. It's a sign of hunger. It's a sign of poor medical care, if any at all, in these families. It's a sign that many of those folks are losing their homes, their cars, their pensions, everything they own. Everything they had to look forward to in their lives. Think about that. Old people who planned on their homes being their retirement fund. Gone. Pensions that would provide the basic needs for a fundamentally decent standard of living. Gone. And what is it replaced with? It's replaced by the worry and the stress of not knowing if or when any help is going to be available. Stress. the terrible burden of financial stress and financial worry. Stress and worry so many people will consider whether or not it's worth it to keep on living. Thinking about throwing in the towel. It's for some of those folks. Many have given up hope. After being out of your home by a bank who received billions of dollars of our tax so that they can continue on paying stockholders and their executives obscene amounts of money. How much hope see that the people, yes, we the people, are sitting by and allowing this to happen with nary a whisper? That's why the men and women in Chicago who are protesting the loss of their jobs are so important right now. And I see Barack Obama is backing them, and thank God for that. I hope they get the backing of every man, woman, and child in the United States because they stand for something important. And I hope they keep on raising their voices for financial justice. If I could go up there, if I could afford to go up there, I would go join them and help spread that message. Their message is simple, really. Do what is right by the working men and women of this country. Do what is right by the working men and women, the people who keep this place running. Forget the fat cats on Wall Street and K Street. Screw them! On these people who have so blatantly screwed the lunch bucket crowd out of everything they have so that they can have a palace in the Hamptons, Fifth Avenue as well. I'm sick of seeing the limos and the $100 cigars while men and women all over this meal on the table for their families after a hard day's work, or maybe no work. It's unconscionable. That it's un-American. For greed, uncontrolled usury, the misuse of funds for other people's pensions and jobs is un-American. And it's time for a war on this un-American activity being perpetrated by these vermin who control Wall Street and corporate America. We're seeing it everywhere. And yes, we do need to do something about the auto companies right now, but we also need to do something to drive out the greedy bastards who caused it in the first place by putting the emphasis on their own salaries and bonuses instead of on the kind of product and the quality of product that they produced. Have you ever driven through the neighborhoods like Grosse Pointe, Michigan, to see what really has happened to the auto industry? Mega mansions inhabited by the fat cats who sit in the boardrooms of those companies, grabbing what they can for themselves, and then asking for taxpayer monies to keep feeding their own personal greed. And make no mistake, that is what it's about. Do you think for one moment that those executives sitting there in front of the House committee the other day, people? Because they don't. They've gotten rid of a couple hundred thousand jobs in the last few years, even before. Fire them all. Fire them all now. Not be giving a single penny to any huge corporation without having the guarantee that the upper management is. You lose massive amounts of money, you are fired. Clear out your desk today. We get accused on the left of class warfare. You bet your ass it's class warfare. I'll tell it like it is. That is what it is. And we didn't declare this war. You and I. It was declared by the fat cats, the corporate America. It's us against them. And if we don't hit the streets in protest of what's going on, then we deserve everything they do to us. And I'm serious. It's time to flex our collective muscle. Yes, collective. Use that word any way you wish, but we've had enough. It's time to fight. It's time to march. By God, we did it once to get our way over something that we needed to correct back in, and it worked. We wore them down to the point where they had to end a horrible war that cost the lives of hundreds of thousands of young Americans, just like they now. But we took to the streets, and we put a stop to about it. That is the sole reason that war ever stopped. It's going on today. If young men and women, people of all ages, all over this country in protest. For a revolt in front of our eyes. It's time to do whatever it takes to take back control of our government and our society in general. The corporate masters, the theocrats, the neocons, the greedy bastards who control Wall Street. It's time to show them who really owns this country. And if we don't do that, we don't deserve to live under the Constitution and the red, white, and blue. Because we didn't get this far along without the people guiding the destiny of this nation. We didn't win wars and didn't build the richest, strongest nation on earth by way of Wall Street. We did it with the blood, the sweat, the tears, and the hard work of the common man and woman. We did it together. Millions of us. Not a handful of those who think of themselves as privileged royalty. We, the people. And we have to take it back from those who have stolen it from us. To Washington, D.C. for the inaugural. There will be a ceremony. That's the prediction. Suggest a few hundred thousand of them plan on staying an extra day. An extra day to march in protest of what is happening to the working men. One extra day of at least a half a million or so folks marching around Washington, down the middle of K Street, and right down Pennsylvania Avenue ought to prove that we're serious about a class war. And I'm talking a class war. I'll admit saying it. As I mentioned, those of us on the left are often accused of waging class warfare. That's exactly what I'm suggesting here. War against those who are ruining this nation. An election isn't enough. As the opening shot, to be sure, in this war. But we have to let them know we mean business. We have to let them know that we're demanding meaningful change, or else, we'll be willing to do whatever is necessary to change it ourselves. We have representatives in Washington to do the talking for us, and that has not worked. It's time we demand that we demand they work for us. I hope these men and women, and we're going to have somebody on today coming to us from Chicago, a gentleman by the name of Tobin, that's involved in this Chicago sit-in. Protest the Bank of America in Chicago. I see the state of Illinois has decided they will not be doing business with the Bank of America and start. We also have other political news from Illinois. Oh, my God. Another governor. But I would like to see some people stay over after the inaugural and protest. Be a great thing. Been a long time. It's been too long. Now I want to talk to you for just a moment about something pertaining to myself, pertaining to this show. I am sure I don't have to tell you that after the election, audiences of programs like ours and even the right-wing top dogs like Limbaugh and Hannity have taken a big hit. Listenership is down, interest is down. Right up to the election, things were building to a crescendo, and then, well, as we thought, a couple of days after it was over, everyone seemed to think, oh, well, we've won, we can relax now. That's not true. But where does a show like this go now? What do I do for content every day? Interesting and informative without having to do many hours of research every single day. I should ask what kinds of one. We have to be careful of what we hone in on because a single issue kind of bored listening. How do I make it better without a significant change? A significant change in the amount of funding we get from our audience. I've mentioned this before, and I do want to mention it again, and it's with great hesitancy I do mention it, but if only 1 in 100 people who listen to this program would help fund the show, we could grow, and we could do some things needed to be heard on a national stage. And my thanks, my eternal thanks to those of you who have contributed to the show. You know who you are, and you know I'm grateful. But we only need 1 in 100. And I know that some of you must think, perhaps some of you think, that we get us to the program each month. I'm not going to embarrass myself and tell you the exact amount because it would give a few righties I know laugh their asses off. And they would. And they probably will because they monitor this. But I will tell you this much. For over a year now, the contributions haven't been enough to pay for computer ink, for paper, office supplies, and the phone bill. It hasn't been 25% of what it takes to just pay the bills, let alone for a moment of my time. For 6 years now, I've been paying for most of the show out of my pocket, and now, just like much of America, I am not in a position where I can any longer afford to keep paying most of the expenses by myself. And so I'm in the terrible position of telling all of my audience that if it isn't worth a few bucks a month to you to hear this program, then it just isn't possible for me to do it anymore. And it pains me to say that. It pains me more than you could have dedicated 6 years to this. It won't be my decision. And I'm very sorry, but that's just the way it, and you don't know how sorry I am. But without a significant, this studio will, in fact, must, in fact, go dark at the end of January. So we're going to hang on till then and hope that the funding, if it does not, that will be the end of this program. Going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Let us pause in life's pleasures and count its many tears while we all serve sorrow.
Their frail forms fading out.
Imagine if the whole world had ever been able to take the lyrics to that song seriously. I know, I'm a dreamer. I'm just like Lennon. Well, I'm not like Lennon. I'm certainly not the musician he was. But I think along those lines. Just imagine. Could be a great place, couldn't it? Really could. All this probably puts me in a little bit of a melancholy mood today. I wasn't even aware this day was coming up. 28 years, you know, to imagine. Some of you listening weren't here 28 years ago. I believe that's 28 years. My God, so am I. But we have some things to look for. Barack Obama will work hard to rebuild economic system. And I know he's been talking about recent bridges but I hope that he will, and I thought a lot about this, I hope he'll give some equal consideration to convincing the American thing has to give, and we maintain the kind of lifestyle we've enjoyed in the past. And everybody said, oh guy, there, here you go. Well, if you think about it, if you just look at the science of it, you just know that we can't keep on going the way we're going with this massive consumerism and eating up the planet the way we are. We can't continue to do it. Mother Earth's not going to stand for it. And building new roads and all is great. But I have to ask the question, if we put a lot of money into new roads, will we even be using those roads a lot in a few years? Will we be able to use the roads? Because, there's going to be a lack of fuel. The way it looks right now, there will be a lack of fuel. And don't be lulled to sleep about this current. If you think for a moment that gas stay down where it is, or maybe even a little lower between now and Christmas, then I swamp land in Florida to sell you, and believe me, it's not that far away from here. But I'm asking a serious question. Will the roads be there now, 10 years from now? And right now, I don't think the American public can even conceive of living any other way as Chevrolets. Mass motoring is going to end in this. It's inevitable. And if you think it through, you'll know I'm right. Only on fossil fuel is it going to end. And it's only a matter of time until it does. So I believe we'd be better off and maybe better served by fixing our rail systems and our harbors so we can move stuff better by boats and by rail. And I know that, sadly, it's human nature to try and rescue the present-day lifestyle, which is a hell of a lot more comfortable and familiar to us than what's coming in the future, regardless of whether or not that lifestyle has any future. But like it or not, and we may not like it, because change is difficult sometimes. I'm one of those people. I'm not good at change in my personal life. Someone comes along and tell me I can't drive my car very much anymore, I'm not going to like. If they can't tell me that I can't use energy for this, that, and the other thing, I'm not going to like. I have to change my lifestyle in a big, big, big way. I'm not going to like. but it's inevitable. And we can move into it gradually. And things are contracting. Mott support more human beings. Perpetually. We're going to run out of mineral resources along with the destruction of our precious farmland rate. And then we've got the change in the... whether the crazies want to believe it or not. And so I believe you understand how severe are the changes that need to be made. I don't think people are getting it at the moment. And I think they've got to understand, that we must retrofit American life so as to comply with the realities that we're facing. And those realities are coming fast, folks. They're coming very fast. What's it going to take? Is it going to take... how high will the price of gasoline have to go? And I understand a lot of you are listening to me right now. My God, it's down to $1.50 a gallon. It's still $1.79 here, but it's dirt cheap compared to what it was just a few short months ago. But those of you that understand the economics and the futures market and all that, you know, down. And if you understand the economic conditions we're in right now, situation, and read about the situation and keep yourself learned on this issue, know that this low price isn't going to do anything in the ground. It is inevitable it's going to dry up and be gone someday, the market. How long will we wait? How many years last week about President Kennedy? And we have Detroit bemoaning technology to build green cars right now. We don't have the technology. And I'm reminded, and I don't want to bore you, but I'll bring it up once again. I'm reminded by President Kennedy giving that great speech saying that we will put a man on the moon by the end of this decade. Think about that. If we could do that, and we did it, we can tackle this. But we're going to have to first get serious and understand what kind of problems we're facing here. And just retooling the old way of doing things in this country is not going to work. I know we all long for the good old days and we hope to perpetuate the lifestyle that we're living or have lived in the not too distant past. But the time is a coming, folks, and I don't mean this as a, I think it's just time that we understand the realities of what is facing us. Things will be different, maybe, but different. I don't mean to say worse. And the time to start preparing for that today. I thank you, Elo, on the chat. Wonderful quote in conjunction with what I was mentioning about John. These things, not because they are easy, because they are hard. And folks, that was coming up on 50 years ago that he said that. And we're much more advanced, technologically speaking, than we were at that time. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a physicist. I don't know what the challenges are. But I do know that there's the brain power and the will by many people to get this job done. And so I don't think just pouring money into the old infrastructure and patching everything up is going to do the job in the long run. Yes, let's do what we have to do to put a Band-Aid on things and keep it going now. Arm a little chewing gum and baling wire, you know what I mean. A little duct tape. That way we can keep things humming. We've got to get better prepared for what's in the future. We have to. Let's head on over to the phone. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, guys, Kevin. I just want to say, you know, and the transition, the end result will be like, how was I able to tolerate this? You remember last week I was talking about my commute to and from work?
Yeah.
And it's great. You know, it really is. You know, it's freedom and the Jack Kerouac fantasy of the open road. You know, commuting on a bus or a train, reading your book and different people and walking is just as good, if not even better.
Well, the beauty's in the eye of the beholder there, certainly. But I agree. That's kind of fun to do. I do it when I'm in Washington. It's the only place I really have a chance to do that, get on the metro and ride and pick a book along or your MP3 player and listen to some good music. But I love the open road. I do. But that's something we're just going to have to give up, I think, doing that for pleasure.
Also, even that you can do, but we just got to change the stuff we do it on. Like, instead of gas, sugar cane.
Well, we, you know, over the years we've personalized everything. You know, when the pony cars first came out in 64 and 65, the Mustang and then the Camaro and all that. I remember they really pounded away the fact that now we had personal cars. Everybody else didn't have just a Ford or just a Chevrolet. We could have all these new models. I guess we've gotten a little too far off the tradition. My God, how many car models do you suppose we manufacture in this country right now?
Because the other day I just saw it, which is a souped-up Mustang.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's when I was young. So, ill. But it also didn't get very good gas mileage. Of course, when you're young and didn't worry a whole lot like about that. Different story now.
Because they're going for like $200,000, I think.
Yeah, he's got one that's really expensive. Really expensive. And I would be lying if I said, if I denied the fact that I like to get in a car like that and hit it. But, you know, just not that practical anymore.
Yeah.
Just not. Got to change with the times, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just want to add that, you know, change is not necessarily bad.
That's right. That's right, and I'm one of the worst. I am one of the worst. Boy, there's certain things in my life, and those that know and love me will tell you that I'm as hard-headed as they get as far as changing some things. I want this setting here and this to be just right and everything. Don't you change it? But thanks. Hey, you know, we've all changed as far as going into the.
Well, I haven't. So.
You haven't? Okay.
I'm sorry to rub it.
Smart guy.
Rub it in.
Grew up on it. You know, that was years ago. I got online everything around 8-9 years ago, something like that. But it was like, woo, a whole new world. Now it's like I told somebody last night, take my TV away if you want to, but don't you even think about taking my computer.
A whole new world to
you. Oh, my. Oh, has it ever. The world's at your fingertips now. Loudest dreams when I was young could never have dreamed about. I remember very well when my father made the expenditure to get us a set of World Book Encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, you know, we have arrived. We have encyclopedias. So we don't have to go to the library for this, that, and the other. Little did I know that you could put the encyclopedia on a disc today. And, you know, it's incredible. It is. And I love it.
You know, I think, you know, because I'm currently working on a manuscript, if it wasn't for Google, Wikipedia, I wouldn't have been able to do it.
You'd have to trudge on down to the library.
Exactly.
And hunt and hunt and hunt and oh, yeah.
It's made life a lot easier. You know, but I don't know. They still need libraries.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, to store rare books, you know.
That's right.
All that.
And again, libraries will change.
Yeah.
They'll change into something different than they are now. Everybody around the world will be online or have access. Will change. Their function will change. But you're right. I think we will. They can show us those old-fashioned things called books. Display books. Can you imagine some days people essentially sat around with these things in their hands with all these pages in them? I don't know where it will all go, but I like.
Well, it's going to happen. You know, I did my first audio book the other day, and it does help me multitask.
Oh, yes. 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 I see Ray is posting some in the chat room right now. Thank you, Ray. That reminds me. It doesn't mean that it's all positive. And I remember when the little handheld calculators came out. I think it's important for people to learn how to think. And unfortunately, there is a side to some of this that's taken away some of our cognitive learning abilities as far as kids doing math and all that. I don't know how important it is for people to have multiplication and division tables nowadays, but have access to all these machines to do it for them. But I always thought that helped develop your mind out on a few things. Maybe that's an old-fashioned way to look at it. We'll see.
Okay, so...
Colin, good to hear from you, my friend.
You too.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Ah, yes, 866-546-5254. 8254, we'll be back in just a moment. Jump.
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving instead of it all. Till the pain is so big you feel nothing. A worst hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. They've hurt you at home and they've hit you at school. They hate you if you're clever, and they despise a fool. Till you're so fucking crazy you can't follow their rules. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. When they're tortured and scared you, then they expect you to pick a career. When you can't really function, you're full of fear. A world is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. With religion and sex and TV, and you think you're so clever and clay, but you're still fucking peasants as far as I can see. A working class hero is something to be. Working class hero is something to be. This room at the top, they are telling you still. But first you must learn how to smile as you kill. If you want to be like the folks on. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is to be. A hero will just follow me. If you want to be a hero, will just.
Working class hero, something to be. In D65465254. Well, I guess wait with your call. Having news coming up here in just a moment or two. News right now pertaining to working conditions. That gang up in Chicago. I'm so proud of them, and I shouldn't refer to in Chicago of hardworking people that are boycotting and sitting in, not leaving until they get their just rewards. I hope that everybody helps them stay until hell freezes over, until they do get what's coming to them in the way of their pensions, their vacation pay, and even some severance pay. It's unconscionable for someone to come along and say, hey, we're closing the shop 3 days from now or whatever. It's unconscionable. There's no reason for it. And if Bank America is at fault, then screw them. Certainly the management had to have some idea that things weren't looking good. But they should be paid every last dime that they have coming to them. They should not. What kind of an example does that set? When we have the fat cats on Wall Street to belabor the point and keep bringing them up, but they are the example. They're too big to fail. 250 guys in Chicago, men and women, they're not too big to let them go. No, should not be the attitude. Should not be the attitude. I'm in around a quarter past the next hour. Is in Chicago, and he's the executive director of Chicago Jobs with Justice. He isn't, but his friend is. Anyway, they're there for this thing. They're going to have a protest beginning at noon Chicago time in front of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. And we're going to talk about those folks and the plant closing that they're involved with up there and how their employer, their bank, whatever, is trying to take what they have, what they've earned. It's not bad enough. Everybody's trying to get concessions from the unions to fight them down to nothing to try and destroy the unions. Now they've already earned. We will talk about some jobs and so forth when we come back. We're going to go to news. Don't go away. You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. We're going to go to news. Don't go away. You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, I'm Doug Cunningham. As Congress ponders throwing the auto industry a financial lifeline, some in Congress want that lifeline to also be a hangman's noose around the neck of the UAW to destroy wage and benefits gains from decades of workers' struggles. UAW may seek a seat on the GM board and a stake in the company in return for concessions. The White House and Congress, meanwhile, are reportedly close to a deal as House Democrats work on a draft of the bill that would grant emergency federal loans to the U.S. auto industry.
We just can't understand how that a bank that was given $25 billion for bailouts could.
Chicago sit-down striker Lalo Munoz. UE workers are continuing the Windows factory in the Chicago area. The tactic won great success for the union movement in the 1930s, helping to spark a massive surge in industrial unionism. The Chicago sit-downers are protesting an illegal plant closing and demanding the money they are owed before they leave the plant. Alvin Macklin is one of the sit-downers and vice president of UE Local 1110.
We as workers here, we can't understand how that they were given all of this money to bail out and to help small businesses. And yet, when we need help, they just refuse us help.
For those of you keeping track, there have been more than 40,000 layoffs under the largest companies in the month of December. Jesse Russell reports.
Forbes, America's 500 largest public companies. The total day, December 8th, is 40,662. That total including its workforce by 11%, or letting go of roughly 5,000. The company will also close 20 plants. Totaling its workforce by 11%, or letting go of roughly 5,000. The company will also close 20 plants. Only 8 days into the month, are averaging a little more than 5,000 cuts a day. Also of cuts on Monday was Belgium-owned InBev, who recently absorbed Anheuser-Busch's U.S. workforce by 6%, or 1,400. 75% of those jobs are expected to come from St. Louis. When InBev earlier this month The company promised to keep the North American headquarters open and to not close any breweries. The St. Louis job cuts will come from sellers. Here is today's economic report. At least the U.S. job market experienced a slight decline in November, with employers cutting 534 years. November marked the 11th consecutive month of job losses. The Conference Board predicts that as the U.S. economy enters 2009, jobs will continue to be lost at a brisk pace. In the report, the organization's senior economist said as many as 3 million jobs will likely be lost by mid-2009.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than...
Fly! You hear me? Creation!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Oh, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. Progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 2, 1.
You have entered the class.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Back with a Tuesday edition. That's December 9th. How many of you are out Christmas shopping? But how many of you did the Black Friday thing, picking up a little bit here and there as done Christmas shopping? How many? Anybody? That a lot of people, and I read an article today, that a lot of people who are just fine are cutting back this year as well. Kind of maybe in others, I don't know. They see that that's the trend, and they see that they might do it. Now, it's not that I feel, don't get me wrong, if shopping, that's fine by me. Tailors survive and all that, but we've gotten a little out of control, not of control over the years. We've did it Christmas time, and it's time to scale it back. And if you celebrate Christmas for the reason that Christmas is here in the first place. Not make it a big deal about gifts. I've played that game. We've all played that game. I think most of us anyway. There may be some of you who haven't. But it's time. It's time to scale it back, I believe. Hey, news out of Illinois today. And I know all of you have heard this already about Blagojevich, the governor of Illinois. I tell you, and I'm Emanuel might be behind some of this, and if he is, good for him. He's arrested Illinois Governor Blagojevich today. And his chief of staff, John Harris, they've been investigating. How stupid are some of these people? We sit around and say these politicians, you'd be, if you knew that you instigated, had known it for 3 years, and you're in Patrick Fitzgerald's area, wouldn't want the guy coming after me, although I'm not side of Valerie Plame thing. But I guess he did as much as you hear him tell it. But you've been investigated, and now it's found that you're the Senate seat of Barack Obama's to the highest bidder, the way it looks, and what you can get in cash in front your, for your wife. There's a 76-page FBI affidavit alleging that Blagojevich was intercepted on court-authorized wiretaps during the last month, conspiring to sell or trade Illinois' U.S. Senate seat vacated by President-elect Barack Obama for financial and other personal benefits for himself and his wife. How stupid would you be, knowing you've been investigated for 3 years and you're on the phone making... I mean, I would be bugging your phone. God, if I was in that guy's shoes, I'd have to be out in the middle of Central Park meeting with somebody, and I'd be annoyed that I was being bugged. I can't believe it. Buddy that would take the seat and give him, in return, a substantial salary for himself at either a nonprofit foundation affiliated with labor unions. He wanted his wife on paid corporate boards where he speculated she might get as much as $150. And he wanted promises of campaign fund, cash up front, and a cabinet post or an ambassador's. I saw it on the phone. He told somebody that this is golden, man. It's all mine.
Oh.
Fitzgerald said in a statement that the breadth of corruption laid out in these charges is staggering. I don't know. Blagojevich said that he knew that President-elect Obama wanted Senate candidate number one, and they're not saying who that is, for the open seat. But, to quote Blagojevich, they're not willing to give me anything except appreciation, expletive them, end quote. So I'm hearing that Rahm Emanuel was and spurned their offers and went and turned, I'm hearing. If he did, good for you, man, for you. Shinkowski from Illinois, who's reportedly under duration for the open Senate seat, said that she was absolutely shocked to hear the news. She said the president had a really good reason, end quote, for going into Blagojevich's house and him into custody in front of his family. Well, I'm sure they did. And dare I say this? This is Chicago, after all. This is Illinois politics. Who was it that said Abe Lincoln's grave? Well, keep spinning, Abe. What's funny about this is, to me, I had this conversation on Saturday last, maybe Friday last, with a friend of mine who has this friend in Chicago, and I'm not going to mention any names, but he has this friend in Chicago who just went to Terre Haute Federal Prison in Illinois for some kind of corrupt, I don't know, gangster activity, okay? Really not gangster activity, but it was. I'm thinking of the word right now. But he was sentenced, and he's been, you know, appealing it and all that. And had to go to prison, so he turned himself into the federal prison in bad, nasty ass federal prison there. And then they have this little white collar guys and that don't have, you know, bars on the doors or anything like that. They sleep in rooms. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, Nine's acquaintance turned himself in. He went to prison, left his wife with nothing outside. She doesn't even know how she's going. And he called my friend and bragged that he had in prison with former Illinois Governor George Ryan, who's in that very prison. Now he's going to have a chance to have lunch with two former Illinois governors, because they'll hang this guy. Blagojevich will go down, and they'll put it to him in a big way for doing this. I kind of wonder if he'll end up in a prison where with no bars on it. Who knows? He shouldn't. Why is that? Why is that a guy like George Ryan or Blagojevich or any? Why do they go to a prison where there's no bars or anything? It's kind of easy on them where they can work in the kitchen and play nice with people and not have to worry about hardened criminals around. Why is that? I don't know. I want that if we had to go to prison, but oh. Anyway, it's so odd when I was told the other day that his friend was George Ryan. And now this opportunity comes that I knew he was being investigated, but I'd this bad. Hey, we're going to take a break, and we're going to get our, we'll be right back.
Two, one, two, three, four.
Yes, indeed. All we are saying is give peace a chance. The death of John Lennon 28 years ago today. We're back. Welcome to the Guy James Show. Thank you for joining us, everyone, this afternoon. Run the line, Fran Tobin. Fran, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
I happened to be commended by a friend in Washington that told me that you were in Chicago and you're there to support the folks that have been... Well, having whatever you want to call it there, to get what's coming to them. Working men have been tried to just push them aside, get them out, and not get a situation there right now?
Sure. In terms of background, about a week ago, workers at Republic Windows and Doors were informed with only 3 days' notice that their plant was going to be shutting down, and expectation was that it would be shutting down last Friday. And the reason given was that Bank of America, which we may recall had gotten $25 billion in financing or giveaways, frankly, from the Wall Street bailout, was not going to extend their credit, was not going to provide a line of credit, so they were going to shut down and everybody was going to lose their jobs. Worse, Bank of America has the creditor and said they would not make funds available to even pay the work already owed, vacation time that they had accrued and earned, severance pay that they're supposed to get given that they didn't notice for plant closed. So the day the plant was going to shut down, the workers, they were going to sit down. And so they've been occupying the Bay 5.
Are we in any jeopardy? The people that own this plant, having them, the cops go in and the authorities, or where are we in this process so far?
Going into it, nobody really knew exactly what happened. But so far, the been tolerance. And has been and has negotiation. So yesterday there was the first meeting, Republic and Bank of America and the workers of the United Electrical Workers. And so cops coming in. There's been, I think it helps, frankly, that there's been an outpouring of things like Jobs with Justice that this union is a member of. But supporters and activists from all around the city of Chicago have been coming by. People have regular presence. So. There's a huge amount of support for continuing, and thus far, which we're happy for, actually removed them from the plant.
Now, the owners of the company supposedly can't get credit anymore. You say they're negotiating with Bank of America. What leverage, what kind of leverage would this company have? Are a different name? I heard there's a different name being put on the company. Is that true?
Well, we don't have all the inside details of what they've done and not done. However, it does indicate, the information we have does indicate that the folks that were the leaders of Republic were looking for an opportunity to relocate and open up under a new name and expand business under a different name, doing a similar business, but paying workers less and trying to continue on that basis and trying to get out of their obligation to their own workers. It's not like Republic is somehow the faintly... it's not George Bailey we're talking about. We're talking about a company that's taken other public money and not necessarily always delivered on. And the first response when the union found out that there was possibility of closing was Republic blamed Bank of America. Bank of America blamed Republicans who were left in the middle being screwed. And so they felt like they needed to take this kind of having all the three parties in the room together out sort of what really can happen and who's responsible for what. And I think without the workers have gotten, that probably wouldn't have happened.
Well, it's certainly the president-elect of the United States coming out and saying that he's right there in Chicago. That has to be a big boost for it.
That's a huge step. I mean, imagine we could see things under a new administration the last 8 years. So that's certainly huge. In addition, in supporting the workers, the Chicago City Council yesterday had a press conference and they announced that they're proposing that the City of Chicago cease doing business with Bank of America unless and until they do right by the workers. So because of the broad support and because, frankly, their cause is just. Their cause also exemplifies the crisis that we're facing all around the country. And the fact that this relatively small band of workers in Chicago stood up against the forces of forces against them and are fighting back is really shame. So we're really glad that these political leaders have signed on to support.
Bit of the about the logistics of the deal going on there right now. All of the employees, ex-employees, all staying in the plant. Are they doing it on people bringing food to them? Can you give us a little describe for us a little?
Yeah, people are working on shifts. So much like open, they're still maintaining the place by shift. So there's always a crew on, and there are a few times when everyone comes together at the same. There have been a number of times when organizations or just random individuals have come by and brought food, brought drinks, so they're able to sustain themselves while they're there. And so far, there has not been an attempt to actually blockade the factory. Though the workers are being very clear that they need to maintain proper security. They're safeguarding assets that they share in the ownership. I mean, some of what they're owed needs to come out of those assets. So making sure that everything stays in good shape is in their own interest and helping to protect themselves.
Can you tell us a little bit about your organization, why you're involved in this, and about other things that you've been involved in similar to this?
Well, Jobsition of community, faith, labor, and student organizations, and the union that represents these workers is one of the member groups of the United Electrical Workers. So they've been a very active part of our coalition. So, of course, we want to support our members as much as we can. Jobs of Justice has been around for years promoting economic justice and worker rights. So we help to bring it to labor unions and community organizations, faith and labor and students all together so that people can share each other's struggles, experiences, and support each other so that together we can build the movement for a new society that's really just and fair.
Facing an uphill battle, this is of jobs that we're seeing with the tremendous pressure on to Trump. I think there's any denying that the nearly 30 years to try and destroy unions, and it's good to know that these men are getting support where they're at. And let me ask you, and I think I know the answer to this question. Chicago Police Department, they're unionized, no doubt, aren't they?
They certainly are.
Okay. Well, I just wondered that. And how many employees are we talking about? Did I read somewhere around 250?
There's about 250 that are part of the sit-in. The company overall had close to 300 work people, those who were management. So it's close to 300 workers.
Go ahead.
If I can mention one thing, you were talking about the importance of unions, and we wholeheartedly agree. You know, if these folks had not been unionized, they wouldn't have even been in a position to decide what to do. They would have just been on their own, out of luck. They'd have gotten nothing. But because they had action, and that organization, that union, had relationships with community organizations and faith organizations and coalitions like Jobs and Justice, because of that, there is the potential for challenging this injustice. And so it's really important that people are organized in the first place. One of the things that we're doing, you said we have an uphill battle, and you're absolutely right. We have to undo 15 or 20 or more years of bad policy in there. And part of what's happening this whole week is that all around the country, Jobs and Justice coalitions and other allied organizations are doing actions around the we're facing. As you said, there are thousands of people losing their jobs. 500,000 people lost their jobs. I mean, it's MAPS plant is not the first plant that's gone down in America, but it's the first time that the workers stood up in this way, and I'm guessing it's not going to be the last time. Through this kind of National Week of Action, calling for a people's bailout, not a Wall Street bailout, we're looking to start building the kind of pressure and the kind of street activity that we think is necessary to really turn the corner and bring about a new system.
What about public support there in Chicago? Are we seeing any gatherings there? What's going on in that regard?
It's really been heartening. There's some kind of gathering and support gathering, either a rally or a protest or a vigil or something, where community organizations, faith organizations, just individuals that heard about it, they want to come down and help. People are bringing food. People are doing demonstrations. In several places around town, local groups have just spontaneously said, you know what, we want to form a support committee, and we're going to go and do a picket at our local Bank of America branch. And it's been really great doing that. In addition to that, around the country, I just got an email about an hour ago indicating that three more cities, folks have decided to rally at a Bank of America location in their city. That's the kind of pressure that we need on a huge mega bank like Bank of America, if we're going to get them to actually listen to the people.
It's the only kind of pressure that works. You can talk, yeah. And pressure like that is what ultimately gets the job done. Friend, describing the whole situation and explaining it to everybody, our understanding of it now and a better vision of what's going on, and I hope that this goes on for as long as it takes for these people to get justice. And I think there's a realization in this country that finally maybe enough is enough. And this movement by these brave workers there is showing us that, it's a great example for everybody else, I think. Thanks so much for being with us, friend.
Thank you.
You have a website here we can tell everybody about?
Yes, www.jwj.org.
JWJ, that on to everybody, JWJ.org. Fran Tobin from Jobs of Justice, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, that pretty much explains everything. The Chicago, a good report by Fran there to know just exactly what the situation is. We have got to work in like this. It is no longer enough just to call your senator, your congressman, or complain, or call the company. Pressure is what it takes. No matter what, boycott Bank of America, fine. That's what should happen to people at all. This is a dastard workers once again. This is a company that got 25, and they've got a hell of a lot of nerve shutting out 250 of what they've got coming to them. So, on the one hand, we'll put our hand out, Bank of America, and we'll grab from the taxpayers. But when it comes down to doing the right thing for these employees, and that's not that many, 250 out of $25 billion of taxpayer money, there could have been, should have been something worked out. And this is a black eye on Bank of America, and I hope it ends up being worse than that. Once again, 250 people. 250 people with families that have to go home and spend their or their groceries or their power bill. They can't even give them what's coming to them. They're not too big to fail. They're just 250 measly union workers in Chicago. So what? So what? But when it comes to Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, AIG, all these people, hey, we can't give you enough money. We just can't give you enough money. Once again, that gives us an idea of just out of line things are in this country these days. I imagine someday, rue the day, that they ever bailed out an AIG or passed on all this money to Wall Street, which now the deal of it is not accounted for. They will, instead of doing something to help the people. So far, this bailout, if that's what you want to call it, toots and all that, it hasn't done squat for the working men and women. Nothing. Credit hasn't eased up. In fact, what are they doing? They're raising the interest rates on their credit cards. Yeah. It's working out good for the people. We all knew who would get screwed in this deal. We knew it all along. We knew what would happen. We knew it. 866-546-5254. Let's be right back after this. Let's do give the media manners the Bill O'Reilly radio show situation first.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today, Fox News' Bill O'Reilly has confirmed he will no longer host his nationally syndicated radio program. In an AP article, O'Reilly was quoted as saying his show was not ideological, but, quote, fact-based, acting as a counterpoint to the popular Rush Limbaugh program. But Media Matters frequently demonstrated O'Reilly's show is often chock-full of fact-free claims and ideological rants. Here's a sample.
Every other place in America is off-limits to you except San Francisco. You want to blow up the Koi Tower? Go ahead.
I just wish Katrina had only hit the United
States. Depends the symbol. Maybe, is there a 50 cent that we have to put up or something?
I don't even want to talk about the far left. Barney Frank? Disgusting? Fat toad? Dodd, sitting there. I swear to him right now, I would hit them.
For these stories and more.
I swear to him right now, I would hit them.
For these stories and more, visit Media Matters.
Power to the people.
Yes, power to the people. Yes, another John Lennon tune. 28 years to go today, the passing of John Lennon, the murder of John Lennon. Senseless killing. Thank you for joining us today here on the Guy James Show. Say, I do want to mention to you that tomorrow we will have noted high-powered attorney, and he is going to explain to us about prosecution of some of these criminals that we think are Bush administration, even Bush himself, what the prospects are for they leave office. So we'll have Michael Rapp. I'm not sure about the time yet, but he and I had a discussion about it today. He was in court this afternoon. He couldn't make it, but promised to be here tomorrow. What he doesn't know about the situation probably isn't worth knowing. So you'll get the straight on that tomorrow from Michael Ratner, always, and once again, one of the noted attorneys here in the United States. 866-546-5254, if you'd like to join us here on the program. I got a kick out of that Media Matters Minute with Bill O'Reilly saying that he was the counterpoint to Limbaugh, that his show was not ideological. Oh, that's good, Bill. That's good. That's really good. Giving up his radio show. I guess if you have the bucks that he's making on Fox TV right now, you don't need to bother with the radio program now, do you? And let's face it, I'll be honest about this. Writers and all, even though he's got a staff and writers for both shows, a TV show and then a radio show each day. Those of you who think it's easy, hey, you got to get up every morning, you search all day long, you find music, find audio clips, do all that, make sure your research is exactly correct. And it's not what you think. It's not just coming in and sitting down in the chair. Now, you're able to just come in and sit down in the chair and do a 2 or 3 hour, more power to you, but there's not many people that could do that, certainly. 533,000 jobs in November lost, and of course the update that there were a couple hundred thousand of months before that. So we're starting to look at serious job losses, and we're starting to, where is the blame going by the right-wingers and a lot of people in this country? Of course, they're bashing the unions. That's where the fault must be. Must be that damn United Auto Workers Union, right? Well, we expected to hear that. We are hearing that. We're hearing this all over about their salary, which is horse manure. And I think it's time to just set this straight about all this, all these lies and misinformation that these right-wingers come out with against union. Let's face it. Ever since Reagan got into office, I mean, they wanted to a long time before that, but they couldn't. They've wanted to bust the unions. They've wanted so bad to bust the unions and drive wages in this country down, down, down. And you know what? They've succeeded for the most part. Unions are only a shadow of what they used to be in this country. It's horrible what these people have done to the unions in this city. The unions aren't the problem right now. They are what's going on in Detroit. They are not the problem with what's going on in Chicago with those people. They are the solution. Hear and say that unions have always been all just, we've had the Jimmy Hoffa, but don't anybody ever tell me a class wouldn't have been built without the unions, because it would not, wage at least wouldn't be what it is now without the unions. Most anyone working in this country wouldn't be making what they are today, at least in manufacturing and many other jobs, without unions. Because whether or not you belong to a union at any point, it's what unions have done for the working men and women in this country. Without the unions, there would never have been a living wage country who worked hard. The lunch bucket Joe and Sally American. It would never have happened in the first place. And the idea that Reagan, and it did start with Ronald Reagan, make no mistake about it, he hated the unions and he did what he could to bust them, and they've been doing it ever since. It was wrong. And they've been very successful. But the very goal of organized labor over the years was to create, could afford to go out and buy goods and live a decent life. That was the goal of organized labor. don't understand about organized labor and where they came from, about Samuel Gompers and the, they came from and why they came from it, then you know what labor was in this country before the unions came along. Walter Reuther. Pensions were horrible. There were no pensions. There were no minimum wages. There were no safety regulations. People worked in sweatshops, children, women, 12, 16 hours a day. There were no labor laws. It was the unions that did all of that. One at a time, we will never be successful in fighting corporate America as far as wages and benefits are concerned. But the unions joined people together and were bringing them together in solidarity so that they could have some punch when it came to negotiations with their employers. And it worked. You take away all this mumbo-jumbo financial crap about these credit crises that are coming down, coming along right now, and it boils for about 30 years. The big country, the middle class people, the wages, they going flat, or they've fallen. And so, what did people do? They had to turn. And, oh, the banks were more than willing to put out lots of credit. Another chance at usury. Another chance to make off the public off the working man's back. And so they had to buy a house, a car. All the things you see advertised on TV that you think you need. They've been pushed off on people with advertising from Madison Avenue. Yes, we're in the middle of a crisis, a credit crisis. Right now, this short-term credit crisis, and if we don't figure out a way to make a decent living, a standard of, to uphold a standard of living that they need to sustain themselves in this. I'm not denying that a lot of people shouldn't have taken on debt that they did. I'm not denying that. But a lot of people were forced into that because of stagnation of wages and the falling of wages and benefits and medical benefits. Think of how many people that were medical benefits. Used to have really good medical benefits. Where have they gone? They've gone out the window. Benefits were up. Costs were down. And they took most of that when companies were fatted off the backs of the American workers. And start bleeding them dry. Started taking away their benefits, their pensions, getting them to agree to less and less and less. And, of course, have to compete on a world market. That's true. But look at all the American companies that have slaughtered the job market in this country by moving hundreds of thousands of jobs to China and to Mexico so that their profits could go even higher. Do I feel sorry for any of the people in management at General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler? They should all lose their jobs yesterday. But the working men and women of this country, they don't deserve what they're getting right now. They sure don't deserve what they're getting right now. Starting back at Reagan, that's why, as you know, if you've listened to this program, I have no use whatsoever. Reagan never did, never will. He was up to right away. Many of us knew what he was up to right away. He was for lining the pockets of the rich and stealing it from the working men and women of this country. That's exactly what Reagan was all about. He didn't even, but he did have a smooth way of delivering it, didn't he? But it started with him in a big way. And they started deregulating things. And they started this anti-union movement. No, we don't need any intervention in the market. Let capitalism take off and run and do whatever needs to be done. No problem. It's all going to trickle down. Ah, yes, it'll trickle down. Let's make the rich even richer, and by golly, don't you know all that money will trickle down just like a waterfall to all the people at the bottom. Man, that worked out well, didn't it? Didn't that just work out really well? Worked out well for those on top of the pyramid. Yes, indeedy. They did just fine. They got massive, massive bonuses and profit. I don't remember them sharing it and letting it trickle down any place. I hope they get everything that's coming to them. I hope they get their get some severance pay. I hope anything that they've got coming to them, I hope they get it. I frankly have had enough of all this blaming the workers' country. We've heard nothing but that since they've been talking about this out, and that's what it is. Loan, bailout, call it what you want to for the big three. Cutting wages again for the big three. Hey, they've already agreed. The union already agreed wage of $14.50 an hour for any new hires. Do you know that's, and that'll all to take, you know, as the ones working there now gradually retire? The people in the auto plants won't be making squat. The union had to agree to that. The second tier wage agreement is $14.50 an hour for new hires. Do you know that's lower than the pay for the non-union foreign-owned auto companies in the South? Did you know that? And here we have these people up on Capitol Hill. Oh, they all got $70 an hour. It's not true. Go up and take a look at Flint, Michigan. Go take a look at Detroit, Michigan. Go take a look at all the places that depended on the auto industry and see what's happening to them now. We had an automaker's